Starting for the finish, that's today's topic from God's Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton. Let's open God's Word together. The Encouraging Word. As we head to our Bible study in just a moment, in the book of Nehemiah chapter 2, we want you to know that we're available for you, connecting in a number of ways to encourage you as you are starting for the finish, today's topic. You can call us right now at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Many are calling for prayer or to sign up for the free Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide. We can send you a hard copy of that, or you can sign up online as well at tewonline.org. A wonderful way to launch your day. An email that pops in your box about 6 o'clock Eastern from Dr. Don Wilton that will encourage you. Again, sign up today online at tewonline.org. Now, Dr. Don Wilton. The
Encouraging Word. I want to invite everyone here to take a copy of God's Word. Turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 2, the book of Nehemiah in chapter 2. Our subject this morning, starting for the finish. You see, starting for the finish is an integral part of our daily lives. I know that all of the young people here would say, well, Pastor, I hope that one day I'm very wealthy. Well, I hope you are too. But there are not a lot of people who are born with a silver spoon in their mouths. There are not a lot of Prince Charleses in the world. There are some, and I'm grateful for them. But they're not a great deal of people who just inherit masses of wealth. I think it would be true to say that if you want to do well in life, you need to start well. Your beginnings are very important. The things that you put into your body today are going to impact the way your body feels tomorrow. Your education today is going to impact where you are tomorrow. The things that you put into place today are going to have a direct bearing on your tomorrow. Nehemiah found himself in such a position. God had given him a job to do. The walls were broken down. The people were in disarray. There was much despair and despondency. And God, as it were, said to Nehemiah, Nehemiah, I want you to be the one to go and gather my people together. I want you to rebuild the broken walls. I want you to reconstruct everything that I have intended for my people. And this is the goal to which I want you to move toward. And Nehemiah was prepared to step out in faith. Nehemiah was prepared to overcome hurdles. Nehemiah was prepared to do all these things, but he had to begin. And at that beginning point, Nehemiah made certain of certain things that he put into place. Let's read about some of them. I want to read together with you in Nehemiah chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. Nehemiah says, I went to Jerusalem, and after staying there 3 days, I set out during the night with a few men. Now, this becomes remarkably interesting at this point. I set out during the night with a few men. I had not told anyone what God, my God, had put into my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mounts with me except the one I was riding on. I thought of the movie Fiddler on the Roof. I mean, Nehemiah hadn't even told his horses about this. Verse 13, by night I went out through the valley gate toward the jackal well and the dung gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and its gates which had been destroyed by fire. Let me just pause a moment there. This man was an extraordinary organizer. He knew what to do and how to do it. He was a man of simple and yet profound faith and trust in God. Look what happens here. Look at verse 13 again. I want to reread verse 13. By night I went out through the valley gate toward the jackal well and the dung gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem which had been broken down and its gates which had been destroyed by fire. Then I moved on toward the fountain gate and the king's pool, but there was not enough room for my mount to get through. Isn't that amazing? The Bible says that he went up to this gate and he found out that he couldn't get his horse through. Now, what did that tell him? That told Nehemiah that he had better be careful of that gate. If the enemy came, he'd never get the cavalry through there. So he had to begin to think and pre-plan as he started for the finish that if the enemy ever attacked him, he had to distract the enemy and cause the enemy to come toward them from a different angle, starting for the finish. So in verse 15, I went up the valley by night examining the wall. Finally, I turned back and re-entered through the valley gate. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, because as yet I had said nothing to the Jews or the priests or the nobles or the officials or any others who would be doing the work. Then I said to them, "You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and we will no longer be in disgrace." I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me and what the king had said to me. So they replied, "Let us start rebuilding." So they began this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite, who was the governor of Samaria, Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. What is this you are doing? They asked. Are you rebelling against the king? I answered them by saying, "The God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it." May the Lord write His word upon our hearts this morning, starting for the finish. If you're willing to go back to Bethel as Jacob did, if you're willing to go back to the place of your original commitment, if you're willing to lay your life before God and say, "Oh God, I've messed up," you can say, because of the grace of God, I can start for the finish, because God is the God of tomorrow. God is the God of the second chance. God is the God of the beginning again. Today can be the first day of the rest of your life. It's not over. And so we find Nehemiah. Let's look at some of the principles that he put into place. First of all, and I'm going to personalize them. Number one, surround yourself with good people. Look at verse 12. Go back to verse 12. Bible says, "I set out during the night with a few men." There were men and women that Nehemiah surrounded himself with that were an integral part of his start for the finish. Surround yourself with good people. I want to say something here, especially to our young people. I love our teenagers and our young people. You know, if you want me to give you a guarantee today, I'll give you a guarantee. I will guarantee you that if you hang around with bad people, you'll become bad people. I'm going to guarantee you, if you surround yourself with bad company, you're going to become bad company. If you surround yourself with godless people, you are going to begin to practice godless behavior. If you surround yourself with people who speak with four-letter words and forked tongues, you are going to start speaking in the same way. If you surround yourselves with people who have a disdain for godliness and for righteousness and for the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and His holiness, your life is going to begin to become patterned after those people that you are surrounded with. The Bible says we must be in the world, but not of the world. And I would exhort you today, if you are wanting to start for the finish, you need to make an absolute mandate in your life that you are going to surround yourself with good people. My brothers, who do you play golf with? Who do your sons watch you play golf with? If your sons watch you play golf with somebody, who blesses everything, including the kitchen sink, and who has a bad temper, and he uses four-letter words on a golf course, I will guarantee your sons are going to watch what they are doing, and they're going to wonder what in the world is going on in your own life. Surround yourself with good people. Make a decision. Young people at school, don't find yourself gravitating toward company that is going to drag you down and chew you up and chew you down and spit you out in the gutter where the devil wants you to be. Surround yourself with good people. It's a basic principle in life. You'd say to me, Pastor, well, what must I do with bad people? Witness to them. Love them. Invite them to come to church. Stand up tall in their company. Stand firmly upon the principles that God has set before you. But I will guarantee you, my friend, if ever you're going to get to the finish mark, you must surround yourself with good people. Number two, retain single-hearted conviction. Retain single-hearted conviction. Look at verse 12 again. Look what happened to Nehemiah. I set out during the night with a few men. I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. It's very simple. In fact, I didn't even tell my horse about it, he said. I only had one mount. I didn't bring a whole cavalry with me. God had written these things upon my heart. Every time I think about single-hearted conviction, I think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, who pondered these things in her heart. That word pondering means that when God comes down upon you, my friend, allow God's Spirit to take fruition in your own heart. Allow God to speak to you. Hide God's Word in your heart. This man was a purpose-driven man. Have you sat down and written a vision statement? Are you able to know who you are? Do you know why you are, where you are? Do you know what you need to do? Do you know how you need to do it, where you need to do it, when you need to do it? Are you a person who retains single-hearted conviction? It's a very simple question. Do people know you to be a person of single-hearted conviction? Or are you like the wind? You blow around all over the place. Are you influenced by negative people? If someone negative came up to you and began to talk negative things to you and began to criticize, are you one of those people who becomes influenced by it? That's how you'll tell if you have single-hearted conviction. If someone sidled up to you at work tomorrow and they said, listen, this and that, and they began to get negative and criticize and break down and assassinate characters and give information to you, would you immediately begin to buckle under it? That'll tell whether you have single-hearted conviction. You see, a person of single-hearted conviction is not swayed by the hurricanes of life. A person of single-hearted conviction is the wise man who builds his house upon a rock. And when the floods come and the rains come, the house on the rock does what? It stands firm. Precious young people, teenagers, build your house upon a rock. Build your house upon a rock. It is guaranteed. Surround yourself with good, godly Christian friends as you start for the finish. Retain single-hearted conviction. There is nothing more beautiful in this world than a teenage boy or a teenage girl who has single-hearted conviction. They know where they're going. They know why they're going. They know who they are. They know where they stand. You know what it is? Because they have started for the finish. They've made a decision. I've looked into the eyes of some teenagers and I want to just cry because you can see it in their eyes. You can see the hurricanes and the tornadoes of life. Every wind and every philosophy and every opinion and every criticism that comes around, they are battered like the wind to and fro, have a single-hearted conviction. Number three, build confidence through quiet analysis. Here's a third principle about starting for the finish. Whether it's your marriage, you say to me today, well, Pastor, my marriage is on the rocks. My marriage is on the rocks. Can I start for the finish? Yes, you can. Build confidence through quiet analysis. Now, I want to show you something. Look with me at verses 13 and 14. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, by night I went out through the valley gate. He didn't get up and make a big song and dance about it. He didn't go out and tell anybody, didn't blow a trumpet. No, sir. Have you ever heard someone get up in the church and say, well, I think everybody needs to know about everything? No, sir, not according to God's word. It wouldn't work that way. We'd never get anything done. Listen, Dad, all the dads here this morning, we talk about promise keepers. You want something to start happening in your marriage and in your family life, don't get up and blow a trumpet about it. Be about the business of quiet analysis. Have a look at your circumstances. Analyze it. Ask God what He wants you to do. Lay it out as the head of your home. Determine your strategy before you and then act upon it. Just do it.
Forgive the interruption. We'll be back with the rest of today's message, Starting for the Finish, with Dr. Don Wilton in just a moment. But we've had so many people asking about this wonderful double DVD set that we're making available right now on our website at tewonline.org about trusting God. It's a wonderful message from Dr. Wilton, and then a resource about the life of Ruth Bell Graham. Dr. Don Wilton had a wonderful relationship with, of course, Dr. Graham and his bride, and this DVD is so powerful. You can discover more details on our website at tewonline.org or call for your copy at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673, or all the details are online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. And while you're there, let's get connected on our social media. We'd love to encourage you to follow Dr. Wilton. It's such a powerful boast of encouragement every time he posts. All of the details are on our website at tewonline.org. Now back to today's great Bible teaching with Dr. Don Wilton, the message, Starting for the Finish.
Well, sometimes we beat around the bush so much we forget what bush we're beating around. We're always calling a meeting. You see, Nehemiah was about the business of building confidence through quiet spiritual analysis. What did he do? He did it in three steps. Number one, he noted his surroundings. That's what the Bible says. He noted his surroundings. Number two, he observed the course to be run. He observed the course to be run. I mean, he even went up to one gate and found that his horse. I could just imagine him getting off his horse and say, come, pull. If it was me, man, I would have been jabbing him with every kind of electronic gear just to jibby him up to get through the gate. I don't know what it was that Nehemiah did, but the Bible says very clearly that he backed up in verse 15. He couldn't get through. So I went up the valley by night and began to examine the wall. Now, what happened is he went up to this particular gate, which was the king's pool gate, just past the fountain gate. And if you look at the construction of what was the situation back then, according to Josephus and the historians, that gate was up here. What he did was he backed down and he went all the way around the valley examining the total structure of the wall that was no longer there. Why was he doing that? He was thinking ahead. Quiet analysis. Note your surroundings. Observe the course to be run. And number three, be mindful of the hurdles that you have to overcome. You see, he wouldn't have known about that gate. What would have happened is they would have been building the wall, we're going to find out later on, and the enemy would have come, and he would have called up the cavalry, and then he would have found out that they couldn't fit through the gate, and guess what would have happened? They would have been defeated. Nehemiah gained confidence, starting for the finish, by virtue of quiet analysis. You see, he was awake when others were sleeping. This was a man who was concerned when others were at ease. This leader was a person who was upon his toes. He had ants in his pants, if you please. He couldn't sit still. He was always doing something. He was in motion. He was action personified. He was out there willing to do whatever it took. Surround yourself with good people. Retain single-hearted conviction. Build confidence through quiet analysis. But I also want you to notice, realize that some people will not understand. Now we're at the starting gate. We haven't begun to run the race. I think it is appropriate that we understand, because it comes up right through Nehemiah, that some people will not understand. They'll not understand. There'll always be the doubters. There'll always be the criticizers, folks. I'll guarantee you, young people, listen to me. When you make a resolution today that you're going to start for the finish according to God's word, I'm going to give you another guarantee. There are going to be friends at school tomorrow who will not understand. They're going to give you the hardest time you've ever had in your life. No doubt about it. You make a decision today that you're going to start for the finish, there will always be those who don't understand, and they don't want to understand. There are those who don't know what is happening. There are those who watch what is happening. And then there are those who make it happen. Where do you fit into that scheme of things? You see, friends, here in verse 16, the Bible says, these people, not the Jews or the priests or the nobles or the officials or any others who were going to do the work, they didn't know about it. But then he comes back in verse 19 and he tells us about Sanballat, and he tells us about Tobiah, and he tells us about Geshem. And he says, these were not just people who didn't know about it. These were people who didn't want to know about it. There are always going to be those who don't understand. Always. They'll be in the middle of a church. There'll be some people here this morning. I'll guarantee you there's at least one person here today. Doesn't matter what happens. You can stand on your head. You can have an outpouring of God's Spirit. You can see an incredible revival come. You can see God move. They don't want to understand. They don't want to have anything to do with it. They'll be there in person, but they'll criticize. They'll analyze. They'll break down. They'll be about the business of rumor mongering. They'll do whatever it takes. There will always be people here this morning, here tonight, Monday morning at school, at work, on the playgrounds, in the ball team, in your civil organization, at Rotary, at Lions, at Kiwanis, there will always be those who don't and won't and never will understand. They don't want to be a part of it. Starting for the finish, number five, always begin with facts and faith. Always begin with facts and faith. Those two wonderful twins coexist together in God's scheme of things. Look at verse 17 and 18. I said to them, you see, we are in trouble. Jerusalem lies in ruins. Its gates are destroyed and have been burned with fire. Let's do something about it. But then in verse 18, my God is with us. He's going to bless us. There is a wonderful relationship between the Siamese twins of facts and faith in the scheme of God's things. God always brings facts and faith together. And friends, when you present the facts, operating in the scheme of God's faith, God is going to bless it. You can do that in your marriage. You can do that in your private life, your home life. You can do it anywhere you want to. Facts and faith, three things he did. Bringing facts and faith together. In verse 17 and 18, he showed the need. Number two, he outlined the task. And number three, he assured them of God's blessing. Nobody can argue with that. He showed the need. He outlined the task. And then he showed and assured them God's blessing. Always begin with facts and faith when you start for the finish. And finally, keep your eyes upon the God of heaven. That's what verse 19 and 20 say. When you're starting for the finish, keep your eyes upon heaven. Yes, sir. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory, his grace.
What a powerful message from Dr. Wilton as we revel in the light of God's glory and his grace. In just a moment, Dr. Wilton will return to close out the program, but right now, I know that he wants you to be reminded that we are here for you. We would love to pray with you, pray for you. Perhaps there are questions that have been drawn to the surface because of the teaching from Nehemiah today with Dr. Wilton. We'd love to discover those answers with you in the Word of God, the encouraging Word of God. You can call us at 866-899-WORD. We would love to speak with you, pray with you. That number again is 866-899-9673. Or if you'd rather go keyboard to keyboard, we'll meet online as well at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. And as I mentioned, Dr. Wilton wants to come back and share these closing thoughts from his heart.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that you love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to you. And I invite you to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place so you can begin this wonderful journey. And in just a moment, I'm going to come back with a final word.
If you were just praying along with Dr. Wilton, giving your life to Jesus Christ or rededicating your life to Christ, Dr. Don wants you to have a wonderful set of resources to help you grow in your next steps. Just call us and let us know. 866-899-WORD is the phone number. We would love to send you these free resources right away. That number again is 866-899-9673. Or we can connect online as well at tewonline.org. And while you're there, you need to sign up for the Daily Encouraging Word from Dr. Don Wilton. It's such a blessing. Here's Dr. Don to remind you what it's all about.
You know, I'd love to be a part of your daily devotional. Love to be able to send you the Encouraging Word daily devotional and be a part of what God says to each one of us through His Word every day. You can become part of that and receive one yourself from me. Just go online to tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. And get your copy of the Encouraging Word Bible Devotion today.
Get your copy today at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Today's broadcast was brought to you by friends like you who are prayerfully and financially supporting the Encouraging Word.